Sam.
Good morning, Al.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. All right, Hamish.
He's all clean and what did you? He said he looked like Sergey
from Money Supermarket.
He looked really sweet. He was gorgeous, thank you. To the person that does him. I hope everyone's well. He's now getting a bit murky in the garden. April the 25th, from Opening Doors Within. I have to allow you to make mistake after mistake in life, but when you recognise them and seek my help, I'm always there to help you and show you the way. But I will not do your work for you. You must learn to do it for yourself. This life is not for weaklings, but for those souls who are strong and sure of themselves, and for those souls who want to find the answers and are willing to go all out to find the right answers, no matter what the cost. Are you afraid of making mistakes? Are you afraid of going out of your depth? You will never learn to swim unless you take your feet off the bottom. You will never grow spiritually unless you stand on your own feet. Be afraid of nothing, but in absolute faith and confidence, go ahead and do what you know is right and ignore the opposition. Ignore all opposition. Be guided by that inner knowing which comes from me. A great leap of faith. I think that's a bit harsh. This life is not for weaklings. Because, you know, there are people whose circumstances have led them to a very poor start in life. And, you know, they haven't had the right nurturing. But then I guess something like falling into addiction, then they will see a different way, won't they? And they will become stronger. But it's quite tough, you know, almost through no fault of a person, you know, that hasn't had the correct teachings and, you know, they're learning programs from their parents. And if their parents' programming has been wrong, they have to, I guess, keep making the mistakes until they eventually get to a crisis where they need to start doing something different. I mean, I would have been classed as a weakling because I wasn't strong enough to stand on my own 2 feet.
Mm. Well, you look at the little baby, you know, and we're all weak. We start off, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're all helpless.
We need to be nurtured and shown the way. Mm. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, that I just didn't listen to that inner guidance. You know, I ignored that. You know, I didn't have, what does Gabor Mate say? Emotional regulation. Mm. I couldn't regulate. It's like a faulty thermostat, isn't it? I couldn't regulate my emotions.
Well, alcoholism is seen as weakness by non-alcoholics. You know, I used to think my dad was weak, you know, and have contempt for him. And, you know, that's generally, you know, that there is this conventional view that, you know, it's a weakness, addiction, rather than an illness. You know, if you catch COVID, people don't think you're weak. Or, you know, cancer or whatever. But addicts are seen as weak. Weak-minded, weak-willed. You know, and that, there's the guilt, you know, that's where the guilt comes from.
Well, I didn't have the ability to control my emotions. So, you know, I was always told to push them down, so I never could emotionally regulate. So I found the thing that could help me, which was alcohol. you know, alcohol would take away the pain of my head, you know, and it did work until I got addicted to the stuff, and then it, you know, had all the consequences that came with it. But what it did entail me then to do was to seek help and learn that, you know, because of being criticised, low self-worth, you know, low self-esteem, you know, looking at other people to help me, not standing on my own two feet, being a bit codependent, and then learning, you know, stripping all that away and learning that I could find the strength within, you know, that I could stand on my own two feet and I could be boundaried and I could regulate my emotions and I could say when I'm sad and when I'm not and when I'm happy and sit with it instead of escape it. So now alcoholism was my strength. It was my stepping stone to getting stronger. It's strange, isn't it? I have to go through that period of making mistake after mistake after mistake, as she says, you know, to suddenly then find the answers.
Yeah. Get on the right path.
Yeah. I will not do your work for you. You must learn this for yourself. They are, you know, this life is for the souls who want the answers and are willing to go all out to find them. And, you know, you'll never grow spiritually unless you stand on your own feet and go ahead in absolute faith and confidence. Yeah, it's coming into like relearning school, isn't it? You know, oh, I've got to...
You'll never learn to swim unless you take your feet off the bottom.
That's fear, isn't it? When I used to teach swimming, bless them, I used to love the little kids. And they used to just... I'm swimming, miss. Feet were on the bottom. And they were just fearful of taking the feet away. But as soon as they did, and the joy that you'd see in there, oh, I've done it. It was just, you know, and that's a bit like us. You know, we suddenly realise that we can do life without escaping in a bottle. It's quite joyous, isn't it, when you can see people change. Come on then, in you come.
So this is from Asbel Caesar, 273. Compelling love. The life of each AA and of each group is built around our 12 steps and 12 traditions. We know that the penalty for extensive disobedience to these principles is death for the individual and dissolution for the group. But an even greater force for AA's unity is our compelling love for our fellow members and for our principles. You might think that people at AA's headquarters in New York would surely have to have some personal authority, but long ago trustees and secretaries alike found that they could do no more than make very mild suggestions to the AA groups. They even had to coin a couple of sentences which still go into half the letters they write. Of course you are at perfect liberty to handle this matter any way you please, but the majority experience in AA does seem to suggest. AA World Headquarters is not a giver of orders, it is instead our largest transmitter of the lessons of experience.
That's good, isn't it? A transmitter of...
Experience. Transmitter of the lessons of experience.
Of the lessons of experience. And that really follows to our fellowship, doesn't it? You know, in my experience, I found that if I do this work, you know, it's suggestive only, isn't it? It's, you know, you're free to leave any time. You know, you're free to disagree. It's up to you if you want to. You know, when I say to someone, you know, if you want what I've got, you know, I suggest you do what I've done. And then you could be free. And it seems difficult at first, doesn't it? You see all the resistance, like you know, I had the resistance. And then the minute you sort of surrender into it and just see sighting and go along with the suggestions, you suddenly find that life gets better.
Mm.
And then, you know, you find yourself saying the same thing to your sponsee as your sponsor said to you.
Yeah.
And all we're doing is passing down experience.
Mm.
You know, we're directly descending from what where Bill was.
Mm. Yeah, and it continues to work for millions of people. So, you know, why not try this?
Yeah.
In our experience, this has worked for many people, and
don't see an alternative.
Mm, yeah, I mean, if you want to work out your own program, fair enough, you know.
I think, you know, there are some, you know, probably online support groups, and, you know, there, I think there is a almost like a Buddhist way or something, and I'm sure they do work, you know, but for me, I love the security of being able to go to a different country and knowing that I've got a meeting if I'm in trouble.
Mm.
It's like a safe haven, isn't it? You know, I know where to go in Mallorca, I know where to go in Cyprus.
Mm.
And I know the people there now, and that's a comfort because I go to those countries a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, being part of a fellowship is very important. You know, and being part of that community, powerful.
I know that, you know, if something happened on holiday, I could just go straight into a meeting and say, I'm really stuck.
Yeah.
And help would come, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that you don't, like if we had a visitor that came in and said, you know, oh, I've been mugged or something.
Mm.
We'd all step round to help them, wouldn't we?
Yeah, well, if every meeting had different steps and different traditions, then that wouldn't work, would it, you know? But they're all the same. Everybody's following the same rules.
Yeah.
So it's consistent.
Yes. Thanks, Mark.
Very good.
Thank you. Always, have a lovely day.
Punchy on a Thursday.
Thanks a lot.